Welcome to the Dutch Bros Podcast. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Let me introduce you first, dude. Jeez, you're so antsy. We got here on the couch today, Mr. Ian Brooks. Hi, Ian.
Hello.
What's going on, dude? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm ready to go.
Did you get good sleep last night?
Yeah, I did.
The reason I say that for you, all you friends out there in the world, is Ian has a little sweet, beautiful little baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
Harper Love. Harper Love, bro.
Yeah, she a couple days ago was posted on the Dutchware page.
Oh my goodness. So, by the time they hear this, it'll be like 3 months ago.
So we're trying to get to 1,000 likes.
Scroll back into Dutchware, look for the baby in the onesie with the windmills on it, who's kind of just got the pretty eyes, smiling, looks like she's just having the time of her life.
Yep. That's the one.
That's Harper Lee. And please.
Harper Lee.
Double click it?
Harper Love. Harper Love.
Harper Lee.
It's a guy. It's a boy.
Double click on it to like it. Is that how it works on Instagram? Is it double click? Or double tap? Double tap.
He's like
I have Instagram, guys. Yeah. I'm not foreign. But anyhow, so Ian, what's going on? How are you, man?
I'm good. No, like you said, I have my little baby girl. She's the coolest thing I've ever done in my life. It's the raddest thing ever.
Come on.
We haven't quite gotten to the sleep training stage. I think it's going to happen in the next week or so. I'm a little scared because when she cries, I want to kill myself.
Well, at least you have coffee.
Yeah. No, in all honesty, my wife's an angel and she actually takes care of Harper every night. So I actually get mostly a full night's sleep every single night.
You're so spoiled. That's messed up, man.
I'm very, very lucky. And it's the
mad
coolest
props
thing
to Caitlin for being a hero.
So Caitlin's special.
Let me just have a sip here before we dive into this. We're going through on the podcast the how-to series.
Mm-hmm.
And really what we're gonna talk to you about is how to really overcome mental barriers and how to endure. And the reason we're bringing you in for this kind of topic is because you recently, within the last year, have done something pretty crazy. Besides having a baby, which is crazy, guys. I mean, just being honest, that's a crazy thing. I'm just super thankful I'm a dude, you know? I'm just thankful I'm a dude. But I will say this, that you did
half Iron Man.
And I don't even know what that means other than it wasn't watching half of Iron Man with Robert Downey Jr. It actually took effort and training and weird stuff. But we've been doing this how-to series, and obviously one of the things that are so intense with any kind of physical activity is overcoming mental barriers. Mm-hmm. What is a half Iron Man exactly?
So a half Iron Man is just a form of triathlon, which it goes swim, bike, run, usually traditionally. And this one for the half Ironman is a 1.2 mile swim, a 56 mile bike ride, and a half marathon at the end of it.
How many miles is a half marathon?
It's 13.1 miles.
What made you even want to do that? Why would you do that?
Well, in all honesty, about a year, almost 2 years ago, I wanted to set some goals and do something fun and do something active. So I signed up for a half marathon, just straight up out of the gates. And I did it 3 months later. And then it kind of turned into, I've always wanted to do a triathlon and since for the last 10, 12 years. And I always had the fear of swimming. I knew how to swim. I knew how to swim from like wakeboarding.
Like 'cause of sharks or something?
Yeah. Yeah. That's one.
Jaws
fear.
When you watch Jaws when you're a kid?
No, straight up when you're swimming in open water and weeds are touching your face and stuff, it's pretty scary. It's
like,
pretty weird.
What is the fear in it?
I don't know. Well, like on both my races I've done, like in open water swims, no fear at all. But the idea of it, I did a training swim once. I was scared to death, like scared to death with the fish moving around. Like people used to tell, I listen to a lot of podcasts with triathlons and they always talk about how like, oh, I just love ocean water swims. Like you're swimming, the kelp's moving around and you see like sharks swimming. I'm like, nah, I am not going to do
so
that.
So were you swimming in an ocean?
No, but there's still open water.
Is it Lake Placid? Remember Lake Placid? Lake Placid with a giant alligator? You're like, hey, you never know. You never know.
The first triathlon I did in open water was actually really murky water, which I didn't have time to really process if it was a good thing or not because I was just trying not to die so the swim. But anyway, yeah, so I wanted to swim. I wanted to do the triathlon. And so I kind of overcame that fear and started swimming in a pool.
Where and, you knew you were safe.
Yeah. Barely. Every distance, every length of the pool is about 25 yards. And I actually, every single time, would have to burp up water after 25 yards because of all the water that I had inhaled.
What's wrong with you?
In 25 yards. So that's where I was a little while ago. And then it turned into...
Just got better at it.
Yeah. And last year, my brother-in-law, who's the same age as I am, he got sick and actually passed away. And in the midst of his... He was in a coma for 3 months. And in the midst of it, I really became appreciative of the gifts that I've been given. And then that there's dreams that I have that I can do, that I can do it. And there's a lot of people that, or like for myself specifically, there's a lot of things that I want to do that I never did. And in his sickness, it actually encouraged me to like, you know what? I want to do this triathlon because I can. Like I can do it, therefore I will do it. And so then I signed up for half Ironman. And actually at the time I was very much wanting to do it so I can have like this, this leverage over my children to say that they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, we found out we were having a baby. So it actually worked out kind of funny.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And so how long was your training exactly for it?
January 1st, January 12th is when it kicked off. So it was a 24-week hard, 6 days a week. For the most part, my best weeks was 6 days a week, and it's usually two workouts a day.
And how much time for these workouts and stuff?
They can vary. The pool workouts are probably about an hour, but driving there and, you know, getting cleaned up after, getting like warmed up in the water, it took a little bit of time. But it's probably about 10 to 15 hours a week that I was doing. Yeah.
Were you in any kind of decent shape? Or?
like I had, so I started with that half marathon, which kind of gave me some confidence.
Right.
I could do it. But as far as the swim goes, I mean, 1.2 miles is a lot of far. And that was my greatest fear was that I knew that I could ride 56 miles. I rode my bicycle from Florence, Oregon to Nashville, 8 years ago. And so I know that I could do that. I didn't have the current strength for it, but I know that I could get there. But the swim was by far my greatest fear. Cause if you run and you cramp, like you can just stop.
Yeah.
If you ride and you cramp, you can stop. But if you swim and you cramp,
you float on your back, bro. It's not the craziest.
Yeah, when you're cramping though, it hurts pretty bad. Which has happened. Just happened pretty bad.
Listen, I'm not a swimmer. I do enjoy going to the pool.
Yeah,
and stuff, and
that's good.
And not swimming laps, but just like laying on a floaty.
Yeah.
But yeah. I've never run a half marathon. I ran Parablossom here locally.
Oh, yeah.
And I've done that a couple times. It's 10 miles. Yeah. And, but there's something in your brain. And for me, it was, you know, when my dad was sick, it was like that and seeing that it was the same thing, you know, it was like, you know what, like I can do this, I'm capable and I want to do this. And I when I was doing it, I did it for him, you know, he was still alive. And so it's in April, every April. Mm-hmm. And I did it, like I started training in March.
Oh,
so
gosh.
It was painful.
Yeah. You're ready.
But it was 10 miles wasn't crazy. You know, well, I mean, it's a lot, but it's not like crazy. What would make you get up and go work and train? Mm. You know what I mean? Like
majority was finding, I had to find ways to self-motivate, in my whatever year and a half of training, 6 days a week, my busier weeks, two workouts a day, twice I had someone with me in a workout.
Yeah.
And so the rest of the time I was all by myself, and at, you know, hopping in a cold pool at 5 a.m. Is not the most, like going from wintertime in my bed, like heated blankets, to go to the gym and hop in the pool is really hard to be motivated. But my motivation was proving to myself that I could do something that I set my mind to. Throughout my life, I've done sports growing up and in high school. And I always struggled with finding motivation because I was always doing it because I wanted to get attention, or I was doing it because someone like expects me to. And at one point when I was in junior high, I was kind of talking to my dad one day, like casually. And I really was just mentioning like, you know what? I'd be really fun to like go play football in college. That'd be fun. Like, and my main reason for doing it is cause I realized that the state that my family was in, it was going to be difficult for me to financially afford to go to college. Mm-hmm. And so that was like my main motivation for it. I'm like, man, it'd be cool to like be able to go and not have to pay, and I'd actually get an education, and that'd be rad. And so my dad, not me, I don't think he meant anything by it, but it stuck with me. And he said, you know how many people actually get to do that? Like, you know how many people try and they don't get to do it? So you need to like figure something else out. Like the chances of you doing are very slim. And in that, it was this lasting impression that I had on my heart and my mind and my soul. And anytime I started going above and beyond, whether it was school or sports, you know, I'd put an extra couple workouts in or something and see improvement. That little ticking thing would hit my brain and say, like, you're not going to do it. Like, no one thinks you're going to do it.
It's not real.
Yeah. And no one thinks you're going to do it. So like, if you don't do it, it's okay. Like, it's totally okay if you don't do it.
Yeah. It's like an excuse.
Man. Yeah. And like, no one expected anything of me. Like, so I took that as, oh, well, if I don't do it, no one's going to make fun of me. No one's going to care. Like, so no one expects me to do it anyway. So if I quit, it's totally fine. And so, that was kind of a nagging thing for years. I mean, through all of high school, through college, I got a job at Dutch actually after I graduated and from college. And it kind of just switched, honestly, until like I'm 31 now. And
you're so old, dude. That's crazy.
And, Brant's 25.
I thought I was older than you. That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm really old. but about a year and a half ago when I was training for that half marathon, there was this point where the people I was going to do it with, there's about 10 of us, and they all backed out. And they all had good reasons. Either financially it was just too expensive or they physically got hurt. And out of all the people, I was by far in the worst shape, like by far the biggest, the oldest.
Yeah, you are old.
And then, but in that moment when they all quit, I had this moment that I had this choice that in my brain, it went once again back to the, they don't expect me to do it anyway. Like they're all quitting. So that if I don't do it, like it's totally it's okay. Cool. Yeah. Like it's no one's going to give me a hard time for it. But in that moment it switched. I don't know what happened. I remember the exact moment and in my brain, it went, because they're not doing it makes me want to do it.
Yeah.
And so I did it and it was like the coolest, raddest feeling. And, it was really hard. But in that moment I realized that I changed something that I've been struggling with for, I mean, I was in seventh grade. I think when my dad told me that.
Yeah.
So 17 years of everything I did was, I had a doubt and a fear and a lack of like motivation. Yeah. And so that moment it changed, and that's kind of, I just kind of rode the wave to do my half Ironman. And that like motivated me every single day is I'm going to do this because I can, and because it's really hard to do. And I'm going to prove it to myself that I can do it. And in that, when we found out we were having a baby, it became very clear that I want to, we always say, like, we want to tell our kids, you can do anything you put your mind to. Mm-hmm. You can do anything. And I knew that I was going to tell my children that, but I knew I wasn't going to believe it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because I knew that I had never done it. I'd put my mind to a lot of things, but I quit on everything. And so I knew that I wasn't gonna be able to do it. And so for me, it was the fun part about doing this training and getting up every day is because I was going to have like this healthy form of leverage over my kids forever.
Yeah.
To say, like, not only for myself, but for them, to show them, like, hey, you can actually do anything you put your mind to and any desire, and you don't need to do it to be the best, but you need to do it so that you can be the best that you can be. And that's like the biggest thing that stuck with me is like, I'm not doing it to win. I'm not doing it to be the best triathlete in the world. They say large triathletes about 180 pounds. I'm 220. So a large triathlete's 180.
You're an extra large.
Yeah, exactly. They actually call them Clydesdales. That's not a real thing. Like they have age groups, like 30 to 34, 35 to 39, and Clydesdales. Like they have the separate, so because you're slower, so you can go against other big people. So I think through it all, like that was just the most motivating thing, is that I knew that I wasn't going to be the best, but I wanted to be the best that I can be. And with my kids,
yeah,
I know that they may not be the smartest kids in school or the most athletic, but I want them to do the best that they possibly can. And that's what I kind of ran with.
I mean, when you started it, training, you didn't even you weren't even pregnant. You know what I mean? So like,
I've never got pregnant actually. My wife did though.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
I see. Continue. Listen, sorry. Clydesdale, settle down. Clydesdale.
It's me.
But I mean, you guys weren't pregnant.
Yeah.
I think you're not the only one that has that, or that has necessarily heard that, you know, where it's like, hey, you know what? It's just not going to really be able to do it. That's really freaking hard, dude. Yeah. So don't even worry about it. You know, and so it's easy to not to have that and then not have something that you can tell yourself that's believable enough to overcome that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's just something that is impressive to me, that you, even without being pregnant, without even like, you know what, I'm going to use this as a leverage on myself is the story I can tell my kids and the proof and evidence that I can show them. I see young people that are like, well, yeah, that I could never do that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, dude, so many people have done so many things before us. And you can actually, you probably have a better chance at it. I mean, because reality is, you weren't the first person, you weren't the first Clydesdale. They make a freaking category about it. You know what I'm saying? You obviously did some research into how to train right for it and stuff.
Yes, obsessively.
So, what kind of triggered in you to go like, yes, you know what? I'm gonna grab onto this dream. I'm gonna grab onto this thought, this positive thought.
I think a lot of it is like for each and every one of us, we have to find a motivation, like a motivating thing, whatever it was. And I mean, from one day to the next, it changes. You know, like I set some goals, and I think that's what kind of carried me. And so I set a goal to do it, and then once I set the goal, I started doing it. And then I think some people kind of held me accountable, but for honestly a long time, I didn't tell anybody that I was going to do it because I was afraid I wasn't going to do it still.
Yeah.
So like until I actually completed it, I actually had so much doubt that I was going to do it, you know? And so I don't know. I think throughout the process, it was just every day I had to just remember who I was and how I wanted to be different.
Did you have something written on your fridge? Did you, you know what I'm saying? Like, did you have your wife telling you like you need to, you can keep doing this? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no,
because this is something that everyone in the room, even here in the studio, is dealing with in some area in their life.
Yeah.
You're probably still dealing with it in other areas inside of you. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are the hints that were left behind after the experience that were like, dude, I'm going to grab onto this again. You go through it. And you have a goal. Did you write that goal down and you set it? And then it's like, well, and then you're like, I want to have this story to tell my kids. And then you get pregnant. And then, I mean, is there a thing where it was like, did you feel it was like God was like saying, hey, dude, keep going. Cause I'm going to keep giving you these feelings.
Yeah. I think for me, the coolest satisfaction, like one was actually finishing what I started, what I said I was going to do. So that was motivating. But I mean, every day that I got out there, when every run, every swim, every bike got easier and easier and easier. And you start to see the physical changes and the mental changes. And I think that was really cool because I got to see my body, like in my abilities change.
Yeah.
I went from, you know, going 25 yards in the pool and feeling like I could drown. And I'd probably do about 300 to 400 yards a workout when I first started, to my final workout doing, you know, I do 25 or 2,800 yards, which still isn't a lot. It's still not a lot for like how long I was going. I was going about 2,000 yards in my race. So to do 2,800 in a workout where you're stopping and you're resting in between, it's not that far. But to go from that point where I'm almost drowning to see the results of 1.2 miles that I wasn't really that tired. The swim was just my greatest fear, but it was cool because with this, my watch tells you how fast you go per lap, per 100 meters. And so I could gauge it according to that. And some days when I felt like crap, there's a whole thing that they call talk about the feel for the water. And if I didn't work out for a couple weeks, I would go back in and see that I lost a lot of progress, that it was becoming a struggle just to float, let alone go fast. A big motivating thing for me was that I recognized when I didn't stick to it, I started falling off, and then in my brain, I had this fear that I wasn't going to be able to complete what I set my mind to do, and that I was just going to become who I used to be.
What was the hardest thing that you did?
Honestly, the hardest part of the whole thing was just showing up to the race. That was
at the actual day,
the actual race, and that's my classic MO with me. Is like I would, set plans with someone, you know, set plans to go do something in the day. I'm like, oh, I'm sick. Can't go.
Yeah,
you know?
I can't do the podcast.
Yeah,
today.
Exactly. I did it already last early this week. Yeah, sorry.
Black lung.
But it's no, like
okay.
But leading up to the day, 3 weeks before, which is so the last 3 weeks to 4 weeks, you're tapering. So you're kind of keeping up your volume for the most part as far as how far you're going, but you're taking out the intensity. And so like you're supposed to still be active, but you're not going as hard so your body can recover after 6 months of training. And so 3 weeks out, the little tree inside of our office, there's a little spout on the bottom of it. Well, I was walking around with flip-flops and I nailed my pinky toe on it and totally busted my pinky toe. So I wasn't even able to put a shoe on. And so I broke it. And so that was hard. A week and a half before, I had a couple ribs pop out and I was in severe pain. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't move without pain. So I got adjusted a couple times that week and then the week leading up to it. And then 7 days before, I actually got the stomach virus. That was like for a day, the day before Coachella. I was really sick. I couldn't move. I was stuck in bed all day. I've never had that happen. Never had a day flu like that before.
That sucks.
I guess it was going around at the time. And so I had that happen. I have a month and a half old baby. 2 days later, my wife gets it. The same thing. We're supposed to leave the following day because we had to drive all up to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, which is we did it in 2 days. So it was a long trip with we'd never done that long of a trip with a brand new baby. She's only a month and a half old. So I think all those things was actually the morning we're supposed to leave. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go for a bike ride. And if I feel okay, we're going to go. It's like, I'm just going to go for it. So I went on like a 20-mile bike ride. I felt terrible. Like I got done. My back was so stiff from my getting adjusted like four times. My stomach hurt and felt really weird. I felt queasy. I felt like I had no strength in my legs. But I got home and I just kept thinking in my mind, like, yeah, I can totally just take, you pay like about $300 to do it, but you can, if you sign up for the insurance, you can pass that on to a later date. So I knew I could do a later date in the year. And so that was kind of like, oh, well, what if I go and I don't finish? Like, then it's going to be really silly. I could have just transferred it over and done it later and I would have finished. But in that moment, I was the last 5 minutes of my bike ride, I was really looking at it. I'm like, you know what, Ian, like who you've been and who you were, like you have every excuse in the book not to go right now. Everybody, this is actually real reasons why everybody would be okay with me not doing it. Cause physically I had already had it signed off by my doctor that I couldn't do it. Like I knew that I could not do it. Like I would get my insurance return. Everybody told me kind of not to do it. My wife's sick. My baby, I was expecting to get sick. We had every reason in the world. And I think that's what once again had switched about a year and a half ago in my brain that I'm like, you know what? I have every reason not to, but that's why I want to go do it. I had a lot of people surrounding me that knew about it. My wife knew about it. My friends knew about it. And I can see to an extent that they helped motivate me. But in the end, it was all about me. And I know that's very selfish sounding, but
wow.
In the end, I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding,
in the end, my wife didn't want me to leave at 4:30 in the morning to go work out. You know, when we had the baby, she would tell me to, like she absolutely wanted me to, but I knew that she'd rather have me around, which is, yeah. I'd rather be there. I'd much rather be at home with my wife and brand new baby than go out and run in the rain. You know, like it wasn't nearly as motivating and so, or going like a 4-hour bike ride. Like it's not what I wanted to do, but in the end, you have to find whatever it is, some leverage over your heart and yourself to accomplish that goal. Because in the end, it's on you. If you don't do it and then for some reason start blaming your friends or your family because you didn't do it, like it's all about you in that sense. Like it's your fault that you didn't do it. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just you didn't find the proper motivation. I learned that in the past that the reason I didn't do so many things is because I gave in to what people said. And so that was their fault in a sense, but it was my fault not to conquer it. And then now I'm like, you know what? I don't care what you said. Whether or not you meant to be like bring me down or hurt me, I don't care because in the end it's on me and I want to do the goals and the dreams and the desires that my heart's always wanted. And I'm so sick of not doing it. The simplest things like learning to hunt or going on a bike ride or learning about something and being able to go do it. I'm just so thankful. Like there's anything that I want to do, I can go do. Yeah. Whether it's traveling or exercising or exploring, like I can do it. And I always made these excuses and trust me, I'm like the biggest homebody in the world. I love being at home and watching TV. Like it's just for like Sundays football. It's the greatest day of my life. Like every week
I
be
love
like,
football.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Football doesn't count. That whole, it's like you have 7 hours commercial free football. That's like the greatest line that anybody's ever said. I love it. Sorry. NFL Red Zone.
Redzone.com.
Yeah. But no, I think it's been like, that's, I forgot what we're talking about. Reds. I started thinking about football.
It's just the thing that you would say to encourage people to overcome.
Yeah. I think just in the end, like with all that, like it's up to you.
Did you always hear like your dad's voice growing up or was it like a year and a half ago that you realized like, whoa, like I remember my dad told me that. Now I've acknowledged that it's like had a really
big effect. I think it's both. I think I always heard it, not necessarily like audibly or anything, but I always felt it. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Going back to it, like there's so many other people that that try to do half Ironmans that don't do it, and they're way better shape than I am. You know, like that kind of hits. Mm-hmm. But I think a year and a half ago is when I finally like caught it and like captured it like in the moment and actually recognized it. And I didn't talk to my dad about it because I think he was just being like...
It was interesting. I don't think it comes from maliciousness.
No. I think he's thinking logically. I think he was literally like just being logical with me, you know, and that's great to know because now I have a child.
And now you know that what you say to them is going to be important.
He was just like, hey, like maybe, you know, you just need, we're going to have to work. Maybe he was thinking like, hey, we're going to have to work really hard to get you there. Like, so I don't think he meant it mean. I haven't talked to him, and I'm not upset with him at all. Like it wasn't his fault.
Should we bring him in?
Yeah.
We brought your dad.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's a good lesson to have that, though, you know, because that's just a trigger. You know, I think that there's a lot of people that didn't have their dad that said that or their parent that said that. They just think that. People make it bigger than it is.
Yeah.
You know, so you make something bigger than it really is when it, in fact, it's just, it's not that hard. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple thing to do.
Yeah.
Like walls really are just fear. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and granted, like, And we make it steeper by fear.
I straight up has not done anything, no exercising at all until about a week ago. I went and ran on a treadmill. And that thing though, that because I did that, because I did that half Ironman, I conquered that. It's constantly in my brain like, Ian, what? Like you can do it. Like what? You used to go in the pool at 5 a.m. Why aren't you doing it now?
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of it does. I mean, there's a certain point where you train a lot and you kind of have to take a break. And for me, my motivation is right now, like I've been waking up at 5 o'clock with a lot of guys and I get in the word for about 30, 40 minutes. And then I like kind of just catch up on fantasy football or whatever.
That's important.
Like, cause it's when I was training, especially when Harper was born, I was still training in the morning, still training at night. And I was kind of leaving my wife, Caitlin, to do everything. You know, and she, cause she had the motivation to get me there too.
Right.
So she was like, no, you gotta go train, stop being lazy. Like you need to go out and do it. And so with that, like I kind of was always doing stuff and it was all about me. And then, I realized that my only real time that I want for myself is before I go to work, before Caitlin and Harper wake up. That's like the time that's mine. The rest of the day, I don't want it to be about me, you know? And especially when I get home, like I don't want to work out. Like I want to be at home and help. And
totally.
I want to, not only do I want to help, but I also want to be with my family. And so right now, like from 5 to 5:45, I'll be on the word and then I'll be fantasy footballing it up for a few minutes or watching a show or listening to a podcast or something. About 6:30 in the morning, I always hear Harper starting to like make noises and cooing and talking. And so I know that that's like my cue because it's since she wakes up throughout the night, it's like my hour that I get to go grab Harper and take her away from Caitlin and actually have her to myself. And it's the happiest time I've heard her entire day because she just slept all night for the most part off and on. But she's so happy. And from about 6:30 to 7:30, almost every morning I get to have her.
Yeah.
And I am never going to find enough motivation to pass that up.
No,
like
that takes priority.
I need her to stop liking me or something for me to do it.
Yeah. She needs to turn like 12, 13.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. So I think with how busy I was with my training, like now I'm actually being able to rest and be still, but but now I'm like, all right, I have my priorities straight. Finally. Like I have my priorities straight, but I'm actually physically doing my priorities, like in order. And that's time in the word, time with family, then work. And so that's how I want it to be. I didn't want it to be working out and then work and then working out and then family. I didn't like that. And so now I'm like, all right, so I have that down. I'm just going to need to wake up earlier. Like, so if I want to continue training, I need to wake up at 4, and which I know for you openers out there, that's not a big deal. But when you get out of the stand for a little bit of time, it's really hard. But I noticed after 2 weeks of waking up at 5, like I woke up this morning at 4:45 without my alarm. I'm excited for going forward. I'm excited that I got to do it. It was like the coolest experience and it was so ridiculously hard. It was so hard. But it was like a crazy, awesome experience. And it wasn't just of the day, but of life. Like it was a cool experience.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Thank you for coming in on the Red Couch and
thanks for
sharing
it. Thanks for having me.
Word, word, word. All right, Dutch Nation. Hope you guys are having a fabulous day and life. And make sure you challenge yourself, really.
Yeah.
Challenge yourself because you're capable, guys.
Yeah, I bet if you chose something to go do, you should probably like up it by like 20%, 30%, and then do that.
Bam, don't be babies. What's up? Yeah, do a two-thirds Iron Man.
No, that's...
Baby. I'm just kidding. Awesome. All right, Dutch. Love you guys. Peace.
Later.